The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning to some of you. Good afternoon to others. Welcome. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. And there is a ton of things going on in the sports world. The college final four, or the top four. The opportunity to go play for a national title. Did Penn State do enough to get themselves into that mix by beating the Wisconsin Badgers? Pretty sure Alabama's in. Pretty sure Clemson's in. I got a feeling Washington's in. I don't know, man. Do you keep Ohio State out? Do you put Penn State in? How does it shake out? That's really the big question, Jeff. That's the huge million-dollar question on everybody's mind at this moment.
It's really difficult to whittle 125 down to four, but I think that we have an idea of probably just four or five at this point that we're ready to put in, but there's only four. So somebody had a great season that's not going to get a chance to play for a title.
Very true. And that's why I feel the perfect number would be six. Again, I don't want to just make that my total argument for the whole day, but truth be told, like you just said,
you got to tell me you're six on the other side, man.
Somebody is getting left out of the party, and that's really the bottom line. I mean, I always feel that way. So ultimately, we know like five is that number, but you can't do that. So it is what it is. We got to take a quick pause for the cause. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
By now, I'm sure many of you are already enjoying the sight and the smell of a real Christmas tree in your home. I'm Danny Lifford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about keeping it safe this holiday season right after this. Windows are a prime spot for energy loss, but you can add a barrier against the winter chill by installing Duck Brand Roll-On Window Kits. Designed with ease in mind, Roll-On Window Kits come with a pre-taped edge for easy application, require no measuring, and fit the window frame for an airtight seal. Also look for Duck Brand's heavy-duty window kits. They're two times thicker and more puncture-resistant than standard window kits. Keep warm and save with Duck Brand. Find Duck Brand weatherization products at duckbrand.com. This time of the year, there are a few things that get us in the holiday spirit as well as a real Christmas tree. But unfortunately, a dry-cut evergreen tree can also become a raging inferno in seconds. It's important to never let a fresh tree dry out, so here's a few tips. Check the tree stand's water reserve frequently, and particularly when you first bring it into the home. Never let the water drop below the bottom of the tree. If the needles become brittle or drop off excessively, the tree is just too dry. Be sure to locate the tree away from heat sources like radiators, fireplaces, and hot air vents. Finally, only use UL-approved lights on your tree and never burn candles anywhere near it. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's corner.
Are you a parent of a 2 to 7-year-old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the award-winning and revolutionary online learning program that's changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Designed by teachers and early childhood learning experts, ABC Now seamlessly aligns with what your child is already learning in school. And with over 7,000 learning activities and more than 650 lessons, it's the most comprehensive early learning site on earth.
I have been teaching for 13 years, and I've never seen a program like ABC Mouse. It encompasses science, math, reading, social studies.
It's just endless what they can learn on ABC Mouse. I've always had to use 20 websites, and now I can just use one.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/free to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/free. abcmouse.com/free.
The Lodge at Tiburon is steps from the ferry docks and nestled among Tiburon's upscale boutiques, charming cafes, and unique galleries. Dine at the award-winning Tiburon Tavern, serving innovative dishes prepared with ingredients grown in our very own gardens, starting from $199 a night. Join us at the Lodge at Tiburon and create long-lasting memories. For reservations, call 1-877-614-6068. Join us at the Lodge at Tiburon or go to lodgeattiburon.com.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Thoughts, opinions, encouraged, welcomed. 1-800-878-7529. Hit us up on Twitter, at By Jeff Rich, at Dorf on Sports. And be sure to check us out here at Sports Byline USA. A lot going on, man. Look, bottom line is, wow. Interesting. I mean, wow, this could blow you away if it was Alabama, Clemson, Penn State, and Ohio State. Would that blow you away or no?
Not at all. Those are the four teams I expected to be in. I said Washington was out. I've said it all week that the Big Ten champ was in, and I thought that Ohio State was in. I think that that's a field, if this pans out to be true, I think that's a field I could appreciate, and I look forward to watching Ohio State play Alabama in a semifinal game. I think that it was one of the greatest games that I've ever seen between those two teams when they met up in January of 2015, and let's do it all again on New Year's Eve.
How impressive. I think there's only been, what, two teams, I believe, since 1950 that have been number one all year long, and it's the same team. It's those Nick Saban-led Alabama Crimson Tide. They just are unbelievable. And I think they've done it, what, like, I think it was like 2013, and then obviously this year they were number one all season long as well. But only two times since 1950 has that ever taken place, and it's happened in like the last 5 years. It's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, didn't Pete Carroll take a USC team wire to wire at number one? I want to say it was like 2004 that they would have been number one going into the season.
I'm telling you what I saw, and that was there's only been two teams, and it was both of the teams were Alabama and Nick Saban.
I'm not surprised, and you know, and to throw PD into that conversation, I mean that's nothing but respect for what Nick Saban has been able to do in his entire tenure as a head coach, both in the SEC and up in the Big Ten with Michigan State. I think that every team that he's ever coached is pretty much overachieved. I think that you know, I think that it's funny because we spent the first hour talking about who could be in and who could be out. I think that we gave Clemson the benefit of the doubt on their one loss, but the only other, the team that we didn't really bring up was Alabama. And you know what? There was really nothing to discuss with them. They are number one. They've done nothing to make anyone question that they're number one. And you know, it was funny. I mean, everybody felt that even if they would have lost to a much inferior team in the SEC championship with that Florida team, that they would have probably stayed number one above Ohio State and Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, look, bottom line is Alabama is on a total different level than everybody else. And let's talk about that for just a moment. Did you happen to watch that SEC game? I mean, honestly, it was a pathetic display of football from Florida. All the gimmicks, all the nonsense. You want to talk about a really bad football team? And I don't mean this on the defensive side. And I know they got 54 put up on them. Defensively, I'm sure week in and week out, for the most case, they're going to do okay. But offensively, they're challenged. And they do those weird gimmicky plays because they know they're offensively challenged. How in the world is that team, or was that team, 15 in the country?
Because they played in the SEC and they qualified for the championship. I think that that LSU game got a lot of attention given the circumstances behind postponing it and how everybody pointed their finger at Florida. I think that they got a lot of attention going down the stretch. But, I mean, you know, I think you have to elevate Alabama's opponents for, you know, for it to even be interesting. I mean, why was Auburn number 12 going into the Iron Bowl? They certainly weren't the 12th best team in the country. I don't think that there's a top 20 team outside of Alabama in that conference, which isn't to take anything away from Alabama, because I think that USC is probably one of, if not the best team that's not in the college football playoff. And they, you know, and I know that they made changes. I know that they grew up just like Penn State did throughout the season, but they lost 52-6 on a neutral field to that Alabama team. And that USC team turned out to be pretty darn good. They might not have been pretty darn good in week one, but I mean, that's Alabama's big statement, and kudos to Alabama. Kudos to everybody in the college football playoff that played a Power 5 opponent in September. A legitimate team that you respected at least going into the season, even if it was a team like Oregon playing Nebraska.
See, a lot of what you say to me is misleading, because I almost feel like, you know, you talk about certain teams and their progress and how it's really great, but then when we talk about, you know, a Penn State or someone else.
I think Penn State's done just fine. I think that the conversation for the top four is a lot different than the conversation for just talking about who's good, who's great, and who's not.
Look, I'm just saying, it just seems you have some sort or a little bit of a doubled standard on what you feel is okay for certain squads, and certain other squads, it doesn't seem to have the same weight or meaning to you.
Well, give me an example of what you're talking about, because I have a feeling you're going down a road that's not really accurate here.
Well, no, I mean, for a long time, look, Wisconsin played themselves out. Okay, at the end of the day, they played themselves out.
But I think they should have been in.
Hold on. For a long time, you were having a hard time with that, and look, again, it winds up they played themselves out. So it doesn't matter. This argument on that is kind of null and void. But
I think Penn State needed to do some things to disprove the notion that the Ohio State win was a fluke. Because it was a hostile home environment for Penn State, which played to their advantage. I think I needed to see them do a little bit more, and unfortunately I couldn't put any stock into what they did against Michigan State, just because Michigan State has proven themselves to not be a very good football team this year. I think that they needed to play a team like Wisconsin. I think they needed to show everybody. I think that everybody had a problem putting Penn State in as a Big Ten champ in theory. Like, if it would have been like last year's Big Ten championship, where it was like a 10-7 game down the stretch. You know, I think that Penn State really needed to pass the eyeball test, and I think that they went into Indianapolis and did just that. And nobody likes falling behind 28-7 early, but I think that they showed the tenacity that they could hang on a field with an Alabama or a Clemson and obviously they can hang with Ohio State. So I think that Penn State had to show us some things, and I think that they did just that.
And here, look, I don't want to take anything away from Washington, because they had a great season. At the end of the day, they had a great season. They did win the conference championship, but Colorado's quarterback got injured early, came back, I know, but never the same at all when you think about him and how he went out there and played. I almost feel like if Colorado would have been able to stay healthy that whole football game, and most notably, obviously, their quarterback, I honestly feel like they would have had a really good shot to win that football game. But you take them out of the equation for long enough, and they were able to push them around a little bit. They gained an advantage, and they never really were able to recover from that. So, truth be told, I think it would have been a different game, but how do we take that away from Washington?
I think it's tough. I think it's difficult, and I think it goes to your theory that you want six teams, because my feeling was always that, you know, as we transitioned from the BCS into the college football playoff setup, that you know, 2 and 3 are a better argument than 4 and 5. But I think that we've, you know, since we've extended the pool, you know, extended the criteria, you know, we've gave a little leeway. I mean, we have 3 teams with a loss. I mean, oftentimes we had undefeated teams playing each other in the BCS.
And that's
because,
true.
And because everybody plays that conference championship, you really got to earn it. You basically have to, you know, to win your 13th game, you know, and Ohio State, you know, of the 12 playoff teams that we've seen over this first 3 years, they are the first team not to win their conference championship. And you know what? They fell from 2 to 4 because they stayed home on championship Saturday. I think that's worth noting that they don't, you know, that the committee is not trying to set up Ohio State and Alabama in the championship. But, you know, Ohio State ends up squeaking in over Washington when, you know, I think the debate was for a long time Penn State getting in. I don't think that we expected to see Ohio State fall to 4.
Well, and it sounds like because of the strength of record of metrics suggests that the college football Final Four should remain unchanged. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Washington. We'll see if the committee does the right thing, if you ask me, which is put Penn State in there somehow, some way. Whether that's taking Ohio State out or Washington, I don't exactly know what they do. But bottom line is, Penn State showed me, Jeff, and a lot of other people,
and
they
me.
Deserve a shot. So, anyways, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, it's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
This is Carrie Cooper for Guitar Center's Focus on Rock. Shop for the greatest music gear on earth at guitarcenter.com. When you think of Dee Snider's Twisted Sister, what comes to mind? Rebellion, tongue-in-cheek humor, raucous hair metal guitars, blue eyeshadow in the rocking 80s, perhaps? Well, recently Dee reworked one of his songs as a beautifully stark and touching piano ballad, turning his best love record into a powerful tool for a very important cause. Join me over at focusonrock.com for the full story about the helping hand of the new We're Not Gonna Take It.
This Black Friday weekend, Guitar Center is your best gift ever center. With doorbuster deals like a Savannah Acoustic or Rogue Electric Guitar, your choice just $59. A complete PVP 5-piece drum kit by DW for $299. A Mitchell ukulele for just $29. Or a 12-pack of the Dario guitar strings for $25. Save up to 40% on gear in every department. And go to GuitarCenter.com to download your money-saving coupon now. Doors open Friday at 6 a.m. Black Friday weekend at Guitar Center. In-store and online.
You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
All righty, everybody, welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. And there is a ton of things happening in the sports world. And we're going to move on from this college playoff thing because, I don't know, I just feel like it's time, man. We've been talking about it for about an hour and a half. And truth be told, I want to talk a little NFL football. And we do this thing that we call, where's Dorf's money at? Last week, if you recall, Jeff, where my money was, in case you forgot, my money was with the New York Football Giants to beat the Cleveland Browns and to give up those 7 points.
You know, it took a pick six from a guy with less than 10 digits on his upper extremities to get it done. But JPP with the big, strip sack or whatever it was, pick six of Josh McCown, that really sealed that one because you needed that second touchdown if memory serves.
They were up 27-13, if my memory serves. And then, obviously, there was a late score and whatnot. And then there may have been an interception, like you said, later on to obviously solidify that. But they did get it done, man.
They're hot. You know, the Giants are really a hot football team right now. I mean, everybody's talking about Big D, but I think the Giants have a better – you know, we're talking about college football. We're talking about bodies of work. I think the Giants have a pretty decent body of work, not needing that win over the now 0-12 Cleveland Browns last week to solidify it. But they've played some better teams than the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not saying that division's over just yet.
Well, I'll tell you what. If Dallas would have lost to Minnesota, let's just say, things would have been a whole lot more interesting because they would have been 10-2. You know, the Giants could be 9-3. Then the Giants have the tiebreaker where they were the ones that beat. They're the only loss that the Dallas Cowboys have this year when you think about it. So, and you know what's even more weird about that is the Green Bay Packers were really able to handle the New York Football Giants, and they did it in New York. You know, like, this is such a week-to-week league, man. It's insane when you really think about it. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. First and foremost, let's do where's Dorf's money at today, because I think this is so simple. This is so easy. I'm going to give you one game and only one game. The Denver Broncos on the road at Jacksonville, only a 3.5-point favorite. That's where my money is at today. I'm going with the Denver Broncos on the road at Jacksonville to win by more than 3.5 points, Jeff.
Yeah, you got to think the Broncos. Well, you know, you got to think the Broncos would be angry with the way that things went down last Sunday night. I mean, epic game between the Chiefs and the Broncos ends on the last play of overtime with a doink through the goalpost.
Well, and not only that, man. Look, we're talking about a team that is obviously, you know, not the same team, okay? But if they have any fight left in them, at 7-4 currently, and in third place of their own division, but if I'm not mistaken, still definitely on top of that wild card hunt, they need to keep winning. And Jacksonville, 2-9. So I'm not totally understanding why this line is this close. I would have figured that they'd be a 5-6 point favorite, to be honest with you. So again, I think there's a pretty strong play. I like Denver on the road, keeping their playoffs hopes alive, wild card race, obviously because division isn't looking so good, but definitely a wild card team, and they need to beat a Jacksonville team that's been struggling all season long.
Yeah, I'd have to go with you on that one. I mean, you know, you look at a reason why Jacksonville loses the sixth straight. They're 1-4 at home this season. You know, this is the time of year where you start to get really complacent when you're buried out of that playoff race, and as the Jacksonville Jaguars have been for a few weeks now. So I think that the Broncos are going to be able to take advantage of a very mediocre AFC this year. And, you know, if they get that wild card, you know, they just have to get hot in January.
Look, bottom line is get in the tournament. We all know that. You know, you just got to get in there. And that's why I haven't given up hope on the Green Bay Packers season yet either. I hate to say it. Look, I know they've got an uphill battle. I really do. Detroit 7-4, Minnesota 6-6, but Minnesota's completely going the wrong way, if you ask me. Detroit, they could be a formidable foe, to be honest with you. Green Bay at 5-6 is not out of it. So people got to realize that even though they're down, they're not out. And they go and they take care of business against Houston later on today. They put themselves in a position to be that much closer to the playoff race. Again, for the Packers right now, it's just about winning. I wouldn't take them minus the 6.5 because they play incredibly close games. But ultimately, I do think that they're able to get the victory against Houston and keep their playoff push and their life alive, to be honest with you, Jeff.
This is must-win for the Packers. Yeah. I am going to start writing their eulogy if they do not take care of business against the visiting, yet division-leading Houston Texans. At Lambeau, this late in the year, these are games that you got to win. If they fall to 5-7, I think that the Washington Redskins are going to take down the Cardinals today. So, you know, you're looking at a long uphill climb if the Packers fall to 5-7, and I don't think it's one that they can make.
Well, and another game that's intriguing based on what we're talking about here, too, is, look, the Lions play the Saints, who are also 5-6, and you know what? They're battling still to be in a playoff race. I know that they're behind, but ultimately, man, win and get in. The Falcons have a tough game against the Chiefs. They don't automatically win that football game. So there's an interesting matchup with the Lions playing the Saints. If you're a Packer fan, the Saints could do the Packers a very big favor and get a victory at home against the Lions. And again, keep their maybe playoff potential alive. They're probably going to have to win the division or get some luck like the Packers maybe, but ultimately a huge game for Packer fans is the Saints playing the Detroit Lions today.
Yeah, it's a really good slate of games overall, and I mean, I think that it's Detroit's time to show whether, you know, America should trust them or not. You know, they're getting almost a touchdown on the road, and, you know, they're playing inside, but, you know, newsflash, the Detroit Lions play inside when they're at home. So I think that this should be a little bit of a smaller line, but, you know, New Orleans playing for their playoff lives and Detroit trying to play for credibility. And, you know, I just don't believe in Detroit just yet. I might change my mind if this game goes a different way.
I do think that'll be a good football game, and I think it's more like a field goal, to be honest with you, that decides that game. I just think the way that Detroit plays is helter-skelter, and it could very well be just one of those barn burner games, and it just depends on who has the ball last, to be honest with you. How about the Giants and the Steelers, man? Talk about a great matchup late in the season. Giants got to keep winning. I mean, ultimately, they're probably in the playoffs, but if they have any hope to win that division, we know that they got to keep winning, and that's probably far-fetched at this point. But again, you never know. Things could happen. On the other hand, Steelers, if you ask me, looked like they kind of got things rolling to a certain degree the other day. And look, Big Ben feeling good, feeling healthy, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. This is a very good football team. And again, I'm sticking with it. I'm not going to go away from them. They're leading their division. And I know their record doesn't say they're that great of a football team. But I think in this case, Jeff, this is one of those situations where Pittsburgh is a lot better than their record. I hate to say it. And they play to the level of their competition week in and week out. The better teams, they play better. So this is a test for them. Let's see how they handle the Giants at home. Steelers, again, leading their division. Giants a little bit behind, but in the playoff picture, obviously. Another really fantastic football game, man.
I would be really frustrated if I was a Steelers fan at this point. Looking at the rest of the division, you know, you expected Cincinnati to be competitive. You knew what the Browns were going in. And, you know, the Ravens were a team that had like the eighth pick in the draft last year because of their record. I know they lost Joe Flacco, but, you know, the Ravens just have not sold me as being a formidable rival for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC North, yet they sit there tied at the top of the division at, you know, a very mediocre 6-5. I understand what you're saying about the Steelers being better than their record. Obviously, they had to go a couple weeks without Roethlisberger.
Le'Veon Bell,
you know, and Antonio Brown's been beat up. You know, their defense has question marks. All, you know, their defense is still searching for a leader after the departure of Polamalu there.
Totally agree with that.
So, you know, and I think that falls on the shoulders of Mike Tomlin to, you know, to carry them through. And, you know, they have to win the division. They're not, you know, with the numbers being what they are, they're not going to get a wild card, so you're only going to have one playoff team out of that division, and it's going to be the division winner. And you know, the Ravens are somehow, some way, getting it done to stay in the hunt there. But the Steelers are clearly the class of that division, and they're just not showing it today.
I'll tell you what, the Ravens seem to be the class of the division. They're 4-0. Pittsburgh 2-1. Cincinnati 1-2, and your Cleveland Browns 0-4, man. So at this point, Baltimore seems to be the class of that division, which is very surprising. I think the potential with Pittsburgh is a lot greater, though, and that's what my argument is, and that's why I hope they can win that division, because you're right, only one's getting in. Anyways, got to take a quick pause for the cause. We'll be right back. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, Storf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
$100 million in jury verdicts and settlements for serious injury victims, medical malpractice victims, and surviving family members of wrongful death victims. Trial Lawyers for Justice. This is a firm that does not handle frivolous lawsuits. They go after insurance company money, and they're darn good at it. They don't sell their clients out or settle cheaply. Trial Lawyers for Justice, the firm that goes the distance for you, their client. They treat their clients the way you would want your own family members taken care of. Nicholas Rowley, Dominic Pachota, and the other trial lawyers in the firm at Trial Lawyers for Justice, dedicated to representing the people and their families in Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Illinois, California, Wyoming, and many other states. Trial Lawyers for Justice. $100 million in settlements and jury verdicts already in 2016. 888-811-0844. TL4J.com. Trial Lawyers for Justice.
Christmas yard decorations are all over the place, but has your Santa lost his luster? I'm Danny Leppard with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about putting the brightness back into your Christmas yard art right after this. What's the first step of any building or repair project? I always make sure I have the tools and materials I need, starting with the QuickCrete mobile app. With easy one-touch access, you can watch project video instructions, quickly pull up a material shopping list, and make sure you have what you need, or use the app to figure out how much you need and find out where to buy it. You can even share your finished project via the Quick Share function. It's the tool you can use from start to finish. Download the QuickCrete mobile app on the App Store or Google Play today. Whether your outdoor holiday decorations include a nativity scene, a tiny sleigh and 8 reindeer, or Santa himself, you may start to notice those plastic pieces just aren't as bright and cheerful as they used to be. Putting a fresh coat of paint on them is easier than you may think. First, clean the items thoroughly to remove any dirt, dust, mold, or mildew. Then lightly sand them with 400 grit sandpaper. Wipe them off, then use a spray paint formulated for plastic to coat the most prominent colors. For the detail work, spray a generous portion of paint onto a paper plate. Now you can use an artist brush to fill in all the added details. In no time at all, your yard decor is back to good as new condition and ready for the festivities of the season. I'm Danny Lippert with tips for today's homeowner.
Hi, I'm Rick Tittle, and I host the Video Game Review every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Pacific, midnight on the East Coast, right here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network. Video games are way more important than your job, your school, or your relationship, so let's talk about them. Everything from the 2600 to the 360. I don't work for any video game company, so I'll tell you what's worth your money and what stinks. Also, cheat codes, interviews, your calls, I'll give away a game, release dates, all that and more every Sunday night right here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
It's around the corner now. Don't you love it? All right. At home where I wanna be. Right.
everybody. It is official. The verdict is in. And the final four have been selected. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. That's right, I said Ohio State. And Washington. That is your final four. Shock? Maybe, I don't know. I'm not surprised. We said that maybe, I gave you a stat that they probably will not change the final four and that there hadn't been enough to make that needle move. We've got our all-around football insider with us, none other than Shane Koenig. Shane, how do you feel about the college final four and who's going to be playing for that elusive national title?
I think that when last week they released the standings and Ohio State was number two, I think that pretty much set that final four if everybody won. If Washington won, if Clemson won, if Alabama, even if Alabama lost, they probably still would stay in the top four. But once they put Ohio State two and Ohio State was inactive, I think that pretty much set the four. I think if Ohio State would have been put four and Penn State beat Wisconsin like they did, I think that gave them an opportunity to throw Penn State in there due to the victory over Ohio State and winning their conference championship. I do feel like it does set a very dangerous precedent that can make conference championship games less important when they did put Penn State in there.
Well, unbelievable. Will Washington shock the world now? That's the real question, right?
I think that is a very good question. I think the answer is no.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm wondering how much of a difference it would make if Oklahoma and Oklahoma State were playing in a conference championship game, if they would have been part of the conversation. We haven't talked about the Big 12. I know that they were down, with not traditional powers, but recent powers like TCU and Baylor having down years in comparison to what they've done in the past. There was really nothing Oklahoma could do to put themselves back in the conversation after losing early to Ohio State and Houston versus Washington playing Idaho, Portland State, and Rutgers. When you talk about precedent, I'm wondering if Washington has set the precedent that we can get in without really playing anybody in the month of September.
Yeah, I think that Washington setting their schedule the way it did. Now, of course, you set your schedule 3 or 4 years ahead of time. But I also think that the Big 12, I think Oklahoma suffered from the challenges of the Big 12 as much as it did setting difficult non-conference games, because Washington beat Colorado. They did lose to USC. They did beat Oregon and Oregon State, even though they're not very good this year. I think the Pac-12 as a whole was a better conference than the Big 12, and that's why Washington is in there. But I was talking about this with somebody, is if there was a Big 12 conference title game and the Bedlam series happens at the very last game of the season, would they have just played another Oklahoma-Oklahoma State game? And that would have been really interesting, because it would have been a win, a quality win against an opponent, and then you would have played the same opponent again, and would it be considered a quality win if you beat them again?
Unbelievable stuff, man. At the end of the day, I'm going to go back to it, man. I said it so many times. This thing's got to be expanded. Four is not enough. Six is perfect, because truth be told, one team every year, we're always saying, wow, how did that happen to that one team? And Penn State, I hate to say it, man, they have a legitimate gripe. They beat Ohio State. They are the Big Ten champs. Again, man, that I understand. I heard the coach talk after the game and said, look, we're going to take any opportunity and this and that and the other, and we're going to be happy with it. He ain't happy, man. I know he ain't happy.
They
shouldn't be happy. Go ahead, man.
Let me throw out a what if for both of you guys, for both you and Shane here. And it's kind of two-parted. What if Penn State only loses to Michigan by 10? And what if they do beat, you know, they do pull off the comeback and beat Pittsburgh? Either one of those things happens that changes the dynamic of the field that we're looking at today. You go first, Shane.
I would definitely say that because their record is the same, especially if they beat Pittsburgh. It's a non-conference game and they win because Pittsburgh is a borderline top 25 team. They're in and out of the standings the whole year. They beat Pittsburgh and they lose to a quality opponent who's what, 5 or 6 now in the standings, and they have the same record, and they beat Ohio State head-to-head, and they got the extra quality matchup against Wisconsin and win that one. I think the thing that makes it difficult for Penn State to jump is that they did lose to Pittsburgh, and Ohio State has so many good non-conference wins and quality opponents within the Big Ten, and they did lose one game to Penn State, but that extra loss definitely was, I think, the separating factor between Penn State and Ohio State. I think it's definitely a difficult precedent to set and something that in the future will be difficult for another group that's going to set the playoff standings to look back on and overcome.
So let me ask you guys this, hypothetically, and I don't know if I think it would have made a difference or not. It's hard to tell, Jeff, because
short of going undefeated, what did Penn State have to do to put themselves in this field?
That's a great question. At the end of the day, that's a great question. They're the conference champion, and they beat a team that's in the Final Four. So I don't know what else they could have done. That's just bizarre to me. But let me throw it to you this way. Ultimately, at the end of the day, do you think that in a weird way, this is what the committee actually wants, and they want it so that somebody's actually left out of the party, and that, you know, it just kind of adds that sort of intrigue to people like, hey, our team got screwed, da 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 da, this and that and the other. Is that maybe kind of their objective in a weird kind of way, that they actually enjoy this type of thing? Because again, we know every year somebody's going to get left out of the party. We know that. But if you put 6 in the party, then maybe you have 1 too many in the party. But is that such a bad thing? Shane, go ahead.
I would say that even if you had 6, then I could tell you now that the USC fan would be like, we're the hottest team in America. We should be in there too. I don't know if expanding would be that way, but when you move from the BCS to a computer system to people with no knowledge of college football and making decisions, you are saying right there, we want to literally and figuratively create conversation. We want people in a room creating the conversation to select these people, and that conversation will breed conversation to bring attention into college football. So I don't think it's crazy. I think it's exactly what they want. I think that's the reason they switched to it.
Jeff, go ahead.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. I grew up in Ohio. I didn't go to school in Ohio, but, you know, I spent my childhood there, and, you know, Saturday morning was all about the Ohio State Buckeyes. You know, in the position that I'm in now, I try to take a more objective look at things, and this doesn't sit well with me. This does not sit well with me that you're going to take a non-champion from a conference without putting that conference champion in. I think that kind of needs to be the precedent. You know, when I think about extending it to 6, I mean, would you say 5 and 6 should be Penn State and Michigan, Dorf?
Yeah, absolutely. In this case scenario, absolutely, man. Because on any given day, any given Saturday, I guarantee you that Michigan or Penn State can go play with anybody, because I've seen what they've done all year long. So, yeah, in this case, and to be quite honest with you, I think that would be a great Final 6 if you include Penn State and Michigan in it. So, yeah, ultimately, man, again, in a lot of years, it may just wind up saying, you might be like, only 1. But this year, we really do have 2 teams that potentially could be as good as anybody on any given Saturday. So, yeah, this year, Penn State and Michigan would be my 5 and 6. That would be in the playoff as well. If in my world where I live, which would be a 6-team playoff. Shane, go ahead, man.
I would say that it would be, if you look back, I think the first part of it is, if you look at year to year, it's crazy that last year TCU got bumped out of the top 4 after being in the 4, and the reason was is they don't have a championship game. Big 12 is going to create a championship game so that they get an extra quality opponent to their conference champion. And now the conference champion gets left out because, what, they lost to Pittsburgh, a quality opponent, by three. So it's very interesting that from year to year, it doesn't seem that there's consistency there. The interesting part about top six is people will be like, well, that's crazy. There's three teams from the Big Ten. But are you telling me that any other year, if you were going to do six teams in a playoff, that an LSU, an Alabama, and an Auburn couldn't make arguments they were the top six teams? And people will be okay with that because it's the SEC. Just because it's now the Big Ten, people are up in arms about it. But I think that dynamic is changing. I think that their conference, especially with the coaches that are now in the Big Ten, that conference is shifting. I think that the SEC East is becoming more weak. I think it's Nick Saban and everybody else in the Big Ten has some good quality coaches and teams now.
Shane, if you're a head coach or an athletic director at a Power 5 school, you may be like a North Carolina State or Kansas State, and you're looking at the way that Washington scheduled, and you're looking at the way that Ohio State scheduled. Now, Ohio State ends up being the first non-champion that gets in, and Washington gets in despite playing nobody in their non-conference. Does the trend change as far as the way you schedule, you know, seeing Oklahoma is completely on the outside looking in because they did schedule Houston and Ohio State early?
I think that Oklahoma in the past has always scheduled a one tough out-of-conference opponent, and because the Big 12 was so strong, they've always been in the conversation and even been a part of championship conversations at the BCS. But if you look at it, you have an argument for both already in the top four. So I would say you should get yourself some national attention whenever you can do it. And that Washington scheduled it that way because I don't think they had confidence in what was happening with their program, that they could schedule somebody like with Sarkisian in there, and now they have Peterson. I think they're going to start scheduling some more power conference games to get attention to the West Coast. But then you could say, well, Washington won all their games, and they're in the top four, so we should do that. But then you look at Ohio State, and they didn't win their conference championship, but they have an awesome out-of-conference schedule, and they beat those teams, and they're in the four. So there's a dynamic of both. You could make an argument for both sides to say that's a way to get into the Final Four.
Shane, quick question for you, and then we got to let you run, and really appreciate you taking time out with us, as you always do. Jeff Fisher gets a two-year contract extension. How in the world does this happen, man?
My question would be is they're going to stay with the same general manager, and are all his assistant coaches coming back? Because Jeff Fisher doesn't develop anybody. If they're not good now, they're not going to be good. And the answer to your question is, I have no idea.
How does Denver only be a 3.5-point favorite on the road at Jacksonville today?
Paxton Lynch, no one has confidence in him. The conversation here in Denver is just that when you watch the game footage of the last time he played, is he played well in the final quarter in garbage time and throwing it all over the field, but there's no confidence in Paxton Lynch to get playmakers the ball and to move that the ball down the field. And after watching Trevor Siemian last week, there's even less excitement about the young man coming in and playing.
Good stuff as always, man. I hear the music. Means we got to let you get the heck out of Dodge. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Shane Koenig, our all-around NFL, NCAA, NBA insider. We didn't even ask him about how the Greek freak just handled your boy LeBron, by the way, Jeff. Just absolutely handled him. We'll get into that maybe in a moment. But I got to a quick pause for the cause. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, it's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
James drives and finishes. James spins, gets in the paint, lefty layup. Strong move from LeBron James. Irving to James. James tries another three and hits. 3 for 4 from downtown for LeBron James. Irving shuffle pass. James fakes and finishes. Carroll tried to draw the foul. James' jump shot is good. He has been hitting the perimeter shot. James, quick spin move. It's finished. Shot clock down to 5 again. Says clear out. James puts his head down, drives, layup is good.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24-7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices. Prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
This is Carrie Cooper for Guitar Center's Focus on Rock. Shop for the greatest music gear on earth at guitarcenter.com. When you think of Dee Snider's Twisted Sister, what comes to mind? Rebellion, tongue-in-cheek humor, raucous hair metal guitars, blue eyeshadow and the rocking 80s, perhaps? Well, recently Dee reworked one of his songs as a beautifully stark and touching piano ballad, turning his best love record into a powerful tool for a very important cause. Join me over at focusonrock.com for the full story about the helping hand of the new We're Not Gonna Take It.
This Black Friday weekend, Guitar Center is your best gift ever center. With doorbuster deals like a Savannah acoustic or Rogue electric guitar, your choice just $59. A complete PVP 5-piece drum kit by DW for $299. A Mitchell ukulele for just $29. Or a 12-pack of D'Addario guitar strings for $25. Save up to 40% on gear in every department. And go to GuitarCenter.com to download your money-saving coupon now. Doors open Friday at 6 a.m. Black Friday weekend at Guitar Center. In-store and online.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. Final segment of this hour here on Dorf on Sports and the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Got to thank Shane Koenig for joining us this hour. Jeff, it's parting shot time, brother. You're up.
I know that nobody gives a hoot about college basketball before the month of February, but got to bring it up. Steve Alford, UCLA, goes into Rupp Arena, gets it done against the paper champion, number one Kentucky Wildcats. Congratulations to UCLA on the big win.
Yeah, impressive by them, for sure. Minus for the Green Bay Packers, man. Let's keep the dream alive. We got to believe. So go take care of business. For Jeff, for Scott, for everybody else, I'm the Dorfman saying peace. We're out of here. Till next time on the Dorf on Sports and the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
What?
This, ladies and gentlemen, concludes our show.
May we do it again sometime?
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Dorf on Sports with Andy Dorf. Till next time.